Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan on this Wednesday, October 27, 2021. The African Union has suspended Sudan's membership pending the restoration of a civilian-led government in the country.
They said they will support the will of the transitional government, and they show full solidarity with Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok and his government.
And a member of Sudan's Sovereign Council condemns Monday's military takeover.
What happened is actually an unauthorized transfer of power to the military junta component. Of course, undemocratic transfer of power is not acceptable.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The African Union has suspended Sudan's membership from the continental bloc pending the restoration of a civilian-led government in Sudan. In the center of Khartoum, near the Foreign Affairs Ministry and other government offices, the streets are quiet today, but the protests against the military takeover of the government are expected this evening. For the latest in Sudan, VOA's Kit Pound Dawson spoke with journalist Muhammad Ali Fazari.
In the city of Khartoum, you cannot see the life being normal because of the state of emergency. And you see here, people still not coming to their work. My office is very close to Foreign Ministry, and there are so many shops and many offices closed down. Still people very cautious to go for work, but still people calling for a big demonstration, which you call the 1 million march demonstration on October 30. And also there are some calls for civil disobedience. These are the two ways that the Sudanese use for resisting this coup. 12 ambassadors from different countries all over the world, they stand beside the Sudanese people demand, which is a demand of the civilian government and supporting democracy. These are from China, from Belgium, UAE, Kuwait, and other countries that they said they will support the will of the transitional government, and they show full solidarity with Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok and his government. Also, some political parties here issued a statement rejecting what they describe as the coup, and they said General Burhan betrayed the revolution, and they said they will not accept such a procedure unless it returns back to the civil government.
Now, we understand that Prime Minister Hamdok has been allowed to return to his home, although I understand he is under guard. Has that improved or changed the public sentiment?
Yes, Abdul Hamdok, Prime Minister, released after a press conference held by General Burhan, the army leader, and said that he was safe and secure and he was in his home. So he said he will return back home and when the security situation is improved. And this is a single step. I don't think it is going to improve the situation most of the time, because at the time that Hamdok released, another politician leader was also detained, Mr. Sadiq al-Sadiq al-Mahdi, the son of the Sudanese historic leader Sadiq al-Mahdi, was detained last night from his home and put into custody. Others with other ministers and members of the Sovereignty Council were there also. But it's only one way that they released Mr. Hamdok, and I think this is due to regional and international pressure for the General Burhan to release all the detainees and also to return back to the civilian government and not to go ahead for...
All right. The only other question I have for you now is I wanted to clarify. You said that they are going to try to have a million person march. Is that going to be on Sunday or Saturday, October 30th or 31st?
exactly, but they said the 30th of October. And this also, there is a lot of calls, but the internet is shut down. It is a problem that people have to communicate. People try to use other alternatives using SMS via mobile and sending to each other. And I got one of these messages from other resistance committees that are the body together with the FCC supporters and the Sudanese Professional Association. These are the three groups that call for demonstration and continuing of peaceful protests until they can overthrow the regime of the coup.
That's journalist Muhammad Ali Fazari speaking with my colleague Kate Pound Dawson from his office near Sudan's foreign ministry in Khartoum. Fazari also said the pro-democracy activists are organizing what they call a 1 million-person march on this Saturday in the country. A member of Sudan's defunct Sovereign Council says his faction of the SPLM-NOB will not recognize what he calls an authorized transfer of power by General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan. Malik Agar says Sudan can only be rescued from the current political crisis through dialogue. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
Speaking by phone from Blue Nile State, Malik Agar, chairman of the Sudan's People's Liberation Movement, North, or SPLM North, condemned the military takeover in Khartoum.
What happened is actually an unauthorized transfer of power to the military junta component. Of course, undemocratic transfer of power is not acceptable. And we as a movement in principle, we are against this transfer of power without democratic means. So we are totally against it.
On Monday, the head of the Sudan Sovereign Council, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, seized power and dissolved the government. He has said the military took over to prevent the country from entering a path towards civil war. Burhan dissolved the government but says the Juba Peace Agreement is safe. Agar, who is a signatory to the Juba Peace Deal, says any violation of one section of the constitution violates the entire constitution.
In the political literature, when you dismantle part of the constitution, it is actually dismantling all the constitution. We want to see how they are going to handle the peace agreement, Juba Peace Agreement. We still need time to see how they are going to handle it, really.
The military takeover in Khartoum has been met with protests in the capital Khartoum and other towns across the country for the past 2 days. Media reports indicate that at least 7 people have been shot dead and dozens of others injured in clashes with the security forces. Agar says the only way out of the crisis is dialogue. He calls on the international community to pressure the military leaders in Khartoum into dialogue with the civilian leadership and to immediately release political detainees.
The international community has a role to play to encourage all the groups and especially the junta to return back to dialogue. And I have always believed in dialogue. There is no way you can impose your will on the will of others.
In 2019, the Transitional Military Council and the Pro-Democracy Forces for Freedom and Change formed a joint civilian military sovereign council to lead Sudan during a 3-year transitional period until elections are held to fully return civilians' leadership in Sudan. That transitional period was extended for 1 year after the transitional government signed the Juba Peace Agreement, which brought other parties, including the armed opposition umbrella group, the Sudan Revolutionary Front, into government in 2020. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
The Sudanese Professional Association has welcomed the release of ousted Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok. The group, which was part of the civilian-led government in Sudan, dissolved by the military Monday, say they will continue with their call for a nationwide civil disobedience. South Sudan in Focus reporter Michael Atit has been following events in Khartoum. Atit says street battles between protesters and security forces has been on and off across the three cities of Khartoum, Khartoum North, and Omdurman.
Life seems to be normal in many neighborhoods, but the bridges that are linking Khartoum, Omdurman, and Khartoum North are still blocked. There are heavy deployment of military personnel along the bridge. Khartoum International Airport is no flights are coming in or going out. Internet services are still off. Last evening, people experienced it for like half an hour from 5 to 5:30. But after some time, it also went off up to this morning. You cannot make calls. You can only receive calls from outside the country. So the capacity, the phone lines are working in is a little bit less than 30%, according to some sources.
Michael, what about the news that Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok has been released? Did you confirm that?
We got the information this morning that he has been released and has gone back to his house. He is well and his health is quite fine. I did not have any contact closer to him, neither his personal secretary or advisor, so that we can confirm it more and to make sure he's well and sound.
Any word from the Sudanese Professional Association on this new development? I'm talking about the release of Abdullah Hamdok, because that was one of their main demand. Any reaction from them?
They actually welcome the release of Prime Minister Hamdok, but they also demand the release of the rest of the detainees who are still in detention. They have called for a nationwide civil disobedience since 2 days ago. But then we don't know whether people are not going to work because they are responding to this call, or either people are afraid of going to the town and maybe risk their lives. No government institution is working. Universities, talk of schools, secondary, primary, everything has been suspended up to now. There is no information when this institution will be reopened.
What about the running battles on the streets between the protesters and the military or the security operatives? Any word on casualty figures? Because the last time I spoke with you, 7 people were shot dead. Are there any updated figures of the casualties?
Up to this morning, there are no update on the casualties, neither a death toll. It seems the protesters thought it wisely not to go in confrontation with the military, because they are placed, as I said, along the bridge and also around the main installations and around some of the junctions like the airport road and all. So the protesters have not been actually advancing towards them because of the confrontation and because some of them might get injured or get killed. Since the country is now operating under a state of emergency situation. So they preferred to organize their activities and their sit-in and their demands and everything around their neighborhoods, around the junctions, around the market, local markets, burning tires and singing and, mentioning some slogans that call for the end to the military rule.
Let's talk about the markets. I mean, have you been able to go to the market to buy food for yourself? I know that bread is one of the staple food in Sudan. Are the bakeries operating? Are the markets operating in full capacity?
Local markets, I would say they are operating, but not in full capacity. Other shops are closed. Only essential goods in the market are the one operating. Talk of vegetables, talks of grocery, dry stuff, and stuff like that. The bakeries, some are open and some are closed. For you to get a bread, maybe you have to queue for more than 2-3 hours so that you get 10 loaves of bread and so on. So local markets, yes. But what I can say is these might go for a few days. They might even run out of commodities. And as such, this will even affect the life of the ordinary people.
That's Michael Atit, South Sudan in Focus reporter in Sudan. He spoke with me this past hour from the Sudanese capital, Khartoum. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, some police officers have been arrested in the Jonglei State capital. Find out why after this break.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Security officials in South Sudan's Jonglei State capital, Bor, say at least 15 suspected members of gangs who were being detained at a military barracks have escaped. The head of the Joint Operation Force says he has arrested three people, including two police officers, suspected of having helped the detainees to escape. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Authorities in Bor, the Jonglei State capital, launched a crackdown on members of gang earlier this month as criminal activity rose in parts of the town. The authorities accused the suspects of masterminding attacks, robberies, house break-ins, and generally terrorizing citizens around town. More than 30 had been arrested and jailed. The Joint Operation Force carried out the recent operations to restore peace in the town after months of gang activity. Brigadier General Ajang Ayuinamach, the head of the force, confirms at least 35 suspected gang members detained at Malualichad military barracks escaped last night.
They used a master key and unlocked their feet. Only 10 people were left in chains and 35 people unlocked their feet because there were 45 people arrested. By the way, there are two doorways at the cell. They opened the first one, and when they tried to open the next door, a master key broke, so they all had to come to the door and push it until it broke, and that is how they escaped last night.
General March says he has arrested three people, including a police commander, who are suspected of having given the suspects the master key they used to escape. March says he has asked the National Security Service to help investigate the matter.
By the way, what we are doing is a national duty. We, of course, did primary investigations, and one police officer said somebody gave him the master key. So we have asked the national security to come and investigate this claim by a police officer.
Bartholomew Deng, a Bo resident, says he worries about the escape of the suspected gang members because they might seek revenge in the town.
It is really very unfortunate that these law violators who have escaped from the prison and they are now from their known place. To me, as a person who is a layman person in the town or a resident of the town, I look at it like it is a bit dangerous. It will be dangerous in the sense that when they come back, they will retaliate. And the retaliation may not be only to the government. It will go to any ordinary citizen in town.
Deng urges the security forces to hunt down and rearrest the suspects and ensure that they are arraigned in court immediately.
We have to continue encouraging the government to continue ensuring that they have to look after them, and they have to ensure that whenever they are caught, they should be taken properly. Those who are guilty have to be taken to the prison. Those who are not guilty have to be tried in the court so that the rule of law is maintained in the town.
Last week, relatives of some of the detained suspects criticized what they called the arbitrary detention of their relatives in unknown locations for weeks without trial. They urged the state authorities to either release their relatives or immediately have them charged in a court of law. But the police said the suspects would be arraigned in court after some of their leaders who were on the run are apprehended. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor, Jonglei State.
At least 100 people with visual challenges have benefited from free eye surgeries at a center for the blind in the South Sudanese capital, Juba. Some patients who underwent operations say they are happy to see once again. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
20-year-old Achola Tem sits quietly in the Bullock Center of the Blind waiting room as she awaits her eye operation. Atem says she had not been able to see out of her left eye since 2012 when someone threw a stone at her face. Atem says she went to Wau Hospital last year, but the doctors there referred her to Bullock Center of the Blind.
When I arrived here in Juba, the doctors told me that my eyes need operation immediately. They told me also that my eye may not return back to its original place, but I might be able to see after the operation. Right now, I am so scared, but I am so grateful to all the doctors.
John Mayen, another patient who is scheduled to undergo an operation at Bullock Center this week, says his eyes problem started when he was much younger, but he never paid any attention to it. Mayen says he has partially vision, but feels a lot of itching, especially in his right eyes.
Recently, when I came to Bahr El Ghazal, I informed my brother, who is a doctor, about the regular eyes itching I am experiencing. Then he told me that if I come to Juba, I should go and visit Juba Bullock Center of the Blind. My eyes still see, but short-sighted, and the main problem, so the itching and burning. I am not afraid to go into the operation room because I believe that the doctors are second to God, and I am so optimistic that after the operation, my sight will be fine.
Dak Tubo, who was operated on last weekend, says he saw many doctors in the past, but there was no tangible results about his vision problem. Tubo says when he came to the eye clinic, doctors examined his eyes and told him his left eyes required an urgent operation. He says he now see out of his left eyes.
I
can slightly see now with my left eye, and there is some watery fluids coming out from my eye. I am thankful because I do not used to see, but right now I came even to read what is written. So my message to those who are suffering with eye problems at home should come to the Bullock Center of the Blind in Juba so that the doctors may help restore their sight. I am so happy that I can see now.
John, another patient who was operated on last week at the Bullock Eye Center, says she is able to see after her operation.
Right now I am fine. My eyes are good, and I believe that when I follow doctor's instructions and use my medicine correctly, I will be able to see very well. I am appealing to everyone to please come to the hospital if any substance falls into their eyes.
Emmanuel Yegusuk Tangun, managing director of Dr. Phillips Pharmaceutical Company, says his company started supporting the Bullock Center in 2015 as part of the company's corporate social responsibility. Tangun says over the years he realized that Bullock Eye Center had been neglected, so his company began sending medicine and medical equipment to the facility, such as recently donated digital scanning machine to help treat patients with visual alignment. Doctors at the Bullock Center of the Blind began operating on patients last week to commemorate World Blindness Day. The free operations were conducted with support from Dr. Philip Pharmaceutical Company along with other organizations. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Nigeria, Africa's largest economy, has launched the continent's first digital currency, the e-Naira. The launch also ranks Nigeria among very few nations in the world to adopt the electronic money system, which leaders hope will help boost the country's economic growth and fight inflation. For VOA News, Timothy Obiazu reports from Abuja.
The official launch of the Central Bank of Nigeria digital currency, CBDC, took place at the State House in Abuja on Monday, with top government officials attending. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari unveiled the e-Naira and said it could potentially boost Nigeria's gross domestic product by up to $29 billion over the next decade. blockchain technology expert Jadel Chidi welcomes the launch.
Digital currency helps to faster payments, you know, and is also supposedly less expensive than the regular payment systems we have already. And you make your transactions, you know, person to person. So you don't need an intermediary.
The eNaira app went live and became available for citizens to download immediately after the launch. A digital currency is a means of payment that exists purely in electronic form. Other types include the cryptocurrency, which authorities banned in February, saying its instability exposed citizens to huge financial risks. The government expects the eNaira to improve store of value for Nigeria's weakening currency, as well as drive financial inclusion for millions of citizens. But digital money experts like Janet Katio say internet penetration and tech savviness could present initial problems.
For every technology that is new, people have to learn how to use it. It is no different with the digital currency, the eNaira, or even the cryptocurrency. People need to learn how to use these things.
Jadel Chidi says there are also concerns about the eNaira's regulation by Nigeria's government.
Ideally, a cryptocurrency is not supposed to be centralized, but the central bank digital currencies are going to be decentralized because they will be managed a centralized body, of course, the CBN in this case, you know, and that defeats the aim of digital currency or decentralization.
The use of digital currencies has grown in recent years in Nigeria, especially among the younger population. Authorities say with the eNaira, they can better monitor transactions, curb black market trading for the paper currency, protect against devaluation, and lower inflation. Timothy Obiezu for VOA News, Abuja, Nigeria.
That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday. We now leave you with P-Square and the song Chop My Money.
It's the remix, yeah. The remix, yeah.
So fly.
Akon, P-Square, Mr. Mady, Convict Music.
First of all, you're the type of woman that stays on my mind. Walk down the street, every guy wanna jump on your behind. It's your seduction that makes sure that we stay in line. Sexual corruption, cause I'll kill anyone for your time.
Tie-eye, tie-eye, yeah.
Body na die him wa baby. Who supposed to live like family? Eh, I know the lie.
Know the lie.
There's nothing stopping me. She the feel my swag and I get money. I de try my best to be somebody. Cause I'm living life. She's girl they make me higher, higher.
I de feel this baby. You no go believe
this girl na die, die.
If you see this baby, tell him say
she must drop my money. Chop my money,
cause I don't care.
Chop my money, chop my money, chop my money,
cause I don't care. I don't care,
don't care,
I don't care,
don't care,
I don't care.
We've been listening to P-Square with the song Chop My Money. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for taking time to be with us this evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Somersault and stunt for you, you know I can. Farabale, kumalole, omwele, I get pepe.
them by soro kilo nshele. If you see her eyes, yeah, you don't go believe she's looking at me.